Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
On this recording, you will be listening to the preaching or teaching of God's Word at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. We pray that the Spirit of God will edify you as you listen to this recording.
Your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We're going to begin reading with verse 47. This is the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew chapter 26. We'll read verse 47 down to verse 55. Now, verse 56, probably just make it a convenient place to stop. Bible says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 47, while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword in his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Notice in verse 55, Jesus asked them, Are you come out as against a thief? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again we lift up Tony Van Manen to you in Idaho and his church, Centennial Baptist Church, and we ask you please to bless their services today, fill them with your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord God, that the body there of local believers will be strong together, accomplishing your will, rejoicing in fellowship, praising your name. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'll use them and use them powerfully, and they'll be grateful for the opportunity to have had others praying for them this week. Now, Father, we turn our attention to this text, and we ask you, please, to open our eyes that we may understand it. I pray, Father, that you will open our hearts to receive what we're hearing here today and do something about what we're hearing. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, asks this mob, Are you come out as against a thief? You know, the world has a twisted impression of Jesus Christ. Just like the Pharisees did back on this day when Jesus Christ was arrested. Jesus Christ had come to give them liberty, to give them eternal life, and all they could see is that by his doctrine he was stealing their followers. They got worried after the resurrection of Lazarus and said, Oh, you know what? If he keeps this up and men believe on him, all men are going to believe on him. And if that happens, the Romans are going to come and take away our place and our nation. So they attributed the problem to Jesus Christ as if he were a thief. They'd forgotten all of those miracles that he had performed for their benefit, all the promises of God in the Old Testament that he had come to be their king. And so all they could see is he's hurting business. So they arrested him like a thief. They tried him like a thief. They convicted him like a thief. And when given an opportunity to take a known criminal who was a thief, Barabbas, and also a seditionist and a murderer, and let Jesus Christ go, they said, No, We want Barabbas. Traded him for a thief and then hung him like a thief and hung him with two thieves. They did. They treated him just like a thief. Well, you know, Jesus Christ isn't going to disappoint them altogether. Because he says, when I come back, and we studied a lot about that this morning, he said, I'm coming as a thief in the night. You want a thief? I'll show you one. You know, when a thief comes, if you get in his way and he has something there that he wants, he just kill you. Right? And when he comes, he doesn't come. He doesn't, hey, I'm here to steal. Anybody there? I'm going to break the window. No. He comes at a time when he's not expected. People have said, you know, when Jesus Christ said, you know, nobody knows the day or the hour, no, not even the Son of Man, but only the Father. They'll say, well, that you see, Jesus Christ couldn't have been God because he didn't even know the time of his coming. But in that, he is displaying his humanity. And so people focus on that and try to have big arguments about whether Jesus Christ was God or not. Let me tell you something. That's a worthless argument. If nobody else knew it but the Father, then you know somebody else who didn't know it? The devil. Let's focus on that one for a little while. Because the person right now that is the goodman of this house is the devil, and the Lord's going to come at a time when he doesn't expect, and he's going to take some things, because that's what a thief does. You know what he's going to do? Anybody that's died in Jesus Christ that is buried right now, lying in a tomb, Jesus Christ is going to come and take them out of that tomb, give them a glorified body, and take them up to heaven. Guess what? Death isn't going to get to hold their remains anymore. He's going to go and take what's rightfully his. If you're alive at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and you are saved, he's taking you out of here, and thank God, may it even be before the end of this message. You know something? When a thief encounters a guard, he's already prepared for that. If he knows there's somebody guarding the property, he's already made a decision about what he's going to do. In this case, he's going to be armed and he'll just take care of business, right? Well, when Jesus Christ comes, the devil is the one that's guarding this place because he's the god of this world. So what does he do? He just binds him up, throws him in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, say, I'll take over now. I'll take over now. So not to disappoint him, because they arrested him and treated him like a thief, he said, I'll come as a thief in the night. They're not going to like it when he comes, because he's going to disrupt the way things are going on at this point. No. When you look at this passage of Scripture here and Jesus asks the question, are you come out as against a thief? That's the way they came out, but he was not the thief. But there are some thieves that are here. One of the thieves was Judas Iscariot, the very man that betrayed him up there in verse 47. While he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with all these soldiers. He's the one that accepted the money to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I didn't know he was a thief. He was, and the Bible tells you so. I'll just read it to you so you can keep your passage open right there. But when Mary used a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, to anoint the feet of Jesus Christ, Judas Iscariot said, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? The commentary on that is this. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Yeah, no, the thief, don't get this wrong, was not Jesus Christ. The thief was the man that betrayed him. Judas Iscariot is the thief. He accused him, he accepted money for him, and that's a real problem. Now, there's a whole lot to be said about Judas Iscariot. And we're not going to take away from the remainder of this message to go chase that. But for those of you who like to do a little study, the Bible says that Judas Iscariot is the son of perdition in John chapter 17, verse 12. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Antichrist goes into perdition and sits on the throne of God, professing himself that he is God. Guess who that is? That's that thief right there. And he's going to get what's coming to him. He's already getting a taste of it right now. No, somebody else was a thief that day. Not only was it Judas Iscariot, but there's another thief here that day. That's the devil himself. In John chapter 10, verse 10, and I'll just read that one to you, we find out about the devil and his characteristic I'll just quote you this little piece of it. The Bible says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Now that's what the devil does. He cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. When you start reading the Bible chronologically, where's the first time that you see the devil show up? Genesis chapter 3. He's speaking through the mouth of a serpent. And he's raising doubt and messing with the scripture in Eve's mind. The whole purpose is he wants her to sin. And you know what? She sinned and so did Adam. And he stole their innocence that day. He's a thief. They were living in the Garden of Eden and did not have to work for the food they ate. God had a real good setup. He stole that from them. They had right and privilege to the Garden of Eden. That was theirs. Adam had dominion over the whole thing. Because of that sin, God had to run him out of the Garden of Eden. The devil stole that from him. The devil is a thief. The devil was there that day hoping that the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ would ruin him as the King of the Jews once and for all. It backfired, thank God. But if you don't want to believe that the devil is a thief and a destroyer who's come to steal and to kill and destroy, just look at what he did to Job. Job was doing fine. God had blessed him. And all the Lord asked the devil was, what do you think about that? The devil's answer should have been, that's pretty good. But he said, oh, no. Job's doing all that because you're taking such good care of him. So God gave him permission to do whatever was necessary to check old Job out. Man, he killed everything. He killed his children, stole assets, wiped him down to nothing, and then stole his health. You know what? Job never cursed God. Job never cursed God. That's the devil. People say, I don't know why there's so much wickedness in this world. Well, there's a thief about. There's a destroyer about. There's a killer about. And it's not Jesus Christ. I was talking to a man just this week, witnessing to him, and he'd had some business upturns and so forth like that. And he began to describe to me what some of those things were, not knowing that I had been in the banking business before. He's kind of right now suffering the consequences of some bad decisions that he made. But nevertheless, he says, I get mad at God sometimes and wonder why he's putting me through this. Why is it that God is always the one to blame for the stuff we do and for the stuff that the devil is up to? It's just like them accusing Jesus Christ of being a thief. It's the wrong guy. The thief in this story, folks, is the devil, not the Lord Jesus Christ. People fussing at God all the time and blaming him. Listen, may I tell you something about what the devil did when he messed with Adam and Eve like that? He stole your soul. He stole your soul. Now, when you're born in the earth as a child, because you don't know the difference between good and evil, you know the difference between right and wrong. You don't know the difference between good and evil as a little child. God gives you an entrance into heaven if you die before you have the knowledge of good and evil. You're safe. And it's not because you have a baptism that washes away original sin. That's not a biblical doctrine. That's a church doctrine. And a lot of churches believe it. No, you are safe because you don't have the knowledge of good and evil. But once you get the knowledge of good and evil, and your sin is against God, the devil's right there. And takes that soul in essence. You say, how do you know that? The Pharisees, for all of their faults, were clean cut religious people. Jesus said, hey, what they tell you to observe, observe. Don't do what they do, but do what they say. They were clean cut religious people, top drawer in their day. Now, Jesus knew their hearts. And like all religious people, their hearts were very wicked. Okay? And when Jesus Christ was talking to these Pharisees, you know what he said? He said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." Well, the devil didn't create them. God created them. So how would he say, "You are of your father, the devil"? Devil interjected himself in there when they started sinning, said, "You're my child now." That's why Jesus Christ had to die, and that's why salvation includes redemption, because he had to buy back the possession that the devil stole. There's the thief, not Jesus Christ. The devil is. But I'll tell you, there's another thief there that day. It wasn't only Judas Iscariot. It wasn't only the devil. Another thief there that day was sin. Now, sin is a very clever thief. Sin is like an embezzler. You know what an embezzler is? Oh, yeah. Yeah, an embezzler. Embezzler is somebody who does it on the sly, where it's kind of like this. Okay, now bow your head for a word of prayer. Kind of like that. Yeah. And that's, I don't have it, it's there, okay? Chinga, chinga, ching. Like an embezzler. Sin tells you all this great stuff you're going to be able to enjoy, and you go out and start to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, and you get a taste of that. You say, "Boy, this is pretty good," and not realizing he's stealing something from you the entire time. And by the time you finally figure out that he's been ripping you off all these years, you're bankrupt. You know what? When a person finally realizes that they're in such bad financial condition that they have to file bankruptcy, they missed a lot of clues along the way. Right? And you know what happens to people who get messed around with sin that's a thief? They're missing all the clues along the way. You don't enjoy the pleasures of sin without consequence. Brian and I were out witnessing this week, and we stopped by this one house. There were three guys there, and everyone had a quart beer, and everybody had already had at least one or two of those before we got there. "Hey, come on over here. Yeah, bless, oh, yeah. How long have you been saved?" "Oh, 6 months ago, yes, sir." Barbecue pit going, you know, and having a big time. Okay. "We're going to be happy tonight." So we went back the next day because one of the guys said he wanted a Bible. We went back there the next day. "Hey, how's it going?" "Oh, I don't feel so good." It's a price you pay. That's a little clue. That's a little clue. That little clue is, if that thing you just put in your body got you high enough to feel good, it's also going to bring you down low enough to feel bad. It's going to beat you up. And you keep on like that, like that, like that, like that, and then one day you wake up and you go, "Whoa, man, I really feel bad. I need to go to the doctor." And the doctor says, "You got a liver problem." And you say, "Well, I know, but this just happened to me." Hello, dude. That stuff's been kicking you around the block for years and years and years. You just missed the clues. You know, dying with cirrhosis of the liver is not a good thing. And you know who's over there laughing about that? Sin the thief. Lust when it hath conceived bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Let me tell you something, folks. You know, listen, you have never had a hard time knowing what sin is. You just had a hard time dealing with sin. You know what? I've never had a hard time knowing what sin is. I just have a real hard time dealing with it. Now, some of it's tricky. You got to read the Bible a lot to really get a good clue in on it, but most of the stuff we know about. You know what sin will do? It'll steal your innocence. It'll steal your wealth. It'll steal your mind. It'll steal your joy. It'll steal your heart. And when it's done with you, it'll steal your life. Sin is a bloody killer. Like the Good Samaritan. You ever read that thing? The story of the Good Samaritan? The thieves came out when he left Jerusalem. You know, he was in a place of peace, Jerusalem, the city of peace. He's in the place of peace. When he goes down to Jericho, that's when he got in trouble. I have found that when Christians grow up in church, stay close to the Lord, stay away from sin, they do good. When they leave Jerusalem and head on down to Jericho and start backsliding, you know what happened? He got attacked by some thieves, and they left him bloody, wounded, beaten, ripped off on the side of the road, so bad even the religious people didn't want to deal with him. The only one who could fix his case was Jesus Christ, the Good Samaritan. That's the way sin leaves you, bloody and broken and half dead, and something only Jesus Christ can fix. That's the thief there, not Jesus Christ. Judas, not Jesus Christ. The devil, not Jesus Christ. Sin. Jesus wasn't the thief, but that's not all. There was another thieves there that day. The men for whom he died were thieves. Those very people that arrested him that day, those are the thieves. The very Pharisees and chief priests and elders and scribes that set this thing up and paid the money to Judas Iscariot, they're the thieves. You say, really? Well, absolutely. Didn't you read what happened right before this thing all came down? Came down. Yeah. You ever read what happened right before all this happened? Jesus Christ shows up. He's riding the foal. He comes into town, takes a look inside of the temple, and he sees what's going on. Now, chronologists have this thing all fouled up. Jesus wasn't crucified on a Friday. He was crucified on a Wednesday. That's how you're 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. His triumphal entry is not Palm Sunday. That just makes for a nice holiday or nice something, you know, decorate the church. He came in on Friday. He saw that temple. The next day he goes into that temple, which is the Sabbath, and that's when they're in there buying and selling. And they already knew from Nehemiah, and they already knew from the Old Testament, they had no business being in there, and they had been chasing down Jesus Christ during his entire ministry and said, "You're breaking the law. You healed a man on the Sabbath day. You're breaking the law. You're eating corn on the Sabbath day." So he waited till he caught them in that temple on the Sabbath day, exchanging that money and doing all that stuff in there, and he said, "Buddy, I caught you red-handed." That's why it never came up at his trial. He flipped those tables and got that scourge and ran them out of there. And he said, "You have taken my father's house and turned it into a den of," help me, "thieves." There's your thief. Not Jesus Christ. The men for whom he died. The men that set the thing up. Listen, when Jesus Christ was hanging up there on that cross, you know what the soldiers were doing down below? They stole his clothes. There were four guys down there. Each one took, he had five pieces. Each one took one piece of clothing, and then they played something similar to a dice game. Drew lots for the vesture. They stole his clothes. Those were the only possessions he had in this earth. Thieves. They stole his throne. You know what? That is King Jesus on that cross. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Pharisee said, "No, Pilate, you need to change that and say, 'He said, I am King of the Jews.'" He said, "No, what I've written, I've written." You know why? Because Pilate knew who he was. And those Jews said, "No, well, we're not going to let him be king." He says, Pilate says, "Behold, you're king." He said, "We have no king but Caesar." They stole his throne. Thieves. They stole his throne. They stole his glory. He's up there on the cross, and they're all like that. "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the..." Wait, whoa, 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 hold the phone here. "If thou be the Son of God..." Excuse me. Has anybody here seen Lazarus lately? Did nobody raises dead men that have been in a grave 4 days from the grave and they don't stink? The man that was born blind in John chapter 9 is healed by Jesus Christ, and the Pharisees come down him on him like a bunch of vultures. "How did this happen?" And he says, well, you know, eventually he gets it all straight. He said, "Jesus did this." They said, "He's a sinner. We know he couldn't do it." Excuse me. He says, "I don't know whether he's a sinner or not, but I'm going to tell you something. So long as there have been men, nobody has ever healed a man that was born blind. If this man were not a God, he could do nothing. And on and on and on it goes, stilling the waves and the wind, healing the sick, making the lame to walk, healing the maimed, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead. And this guy is, if thou be the Son of God? Are you kidding? By doing that, they stole his glory. That's why when we looked at that Sunday school lesson, the Lord says, I'm going to exalt my son so you can see his glory. You had no business stealing that. They're thieves. May I tell you something? Speaking of his throne and his glory, when you kick God off the throne of your life and said, I'm going to run my life the way I want to run it, you're just like those thieves there that day. Because that throne in your heart is his throne, not yours. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. When you take that glory to yourself, that's why we say around here, when you do things, don't do things for your personal recognition. Not in this ministry. You do things for the glory of God. You start doing things for your personal recognition here, and you know what happens? Somehow or another, you don't like it here anymore, and you go somewhere else where they applaud what you do. But we're not here for you, and we're not here for me. People say, oh, he's such a good preacher. I care nothing about hearing that. If the sermon is good, praise God. It's his book. It's his spirit. If he gets anything done with it, he did it. You understand? When we take glory from God, when we take possession of this vessel from God and say, I'm going to run it. I'm going to do something to attract attention for myself. I'm going to do something for my glory. Man, you are just like the guys that were saying to Jesus Christ, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. We can't do that. We're here for him, not for us. I mean, the fact that we get to enjoy some fellowship while we're here, that's a wonderful thing. But we get to enjoy it because we're in the body of Christ. I'll tell you something else. Men steal his words. Men steal his words. Somebody said, how come you lose that old King James Bible? Because it's the truth. There's no errors in here. It's right. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Somebody says, well, what about all the manuscripts? You know something? I did all that thing about the manuscripts and all that, but you know something? I just read this thing every day and keep reading and reading and reading, and I go, you know something? It just gets better with time, not worse. Why do you want to criticize it? People say it's hard to understand. Well, how much time do you spend in it? Yeah, I looked at it like that, read one verse. Well, that's too hard to understand. Yeah, so was the physics book. No, you went to school and a teacher helped you with some of that. You come to church and a teacher will help you with some of that. But all it does is directs you into an understanding that helps you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They came along and stole his words. Do you realize an NIV has 64,000 less words in it than a King James Bible? Somebody stole some words. The devil stole his words, changed his words, corrupted his words. Listen, when you know you got something that's right, hold on for dear life. Hide it in your heart and live by it. Men steal his word. Men steal his tithe. People say, well, there's nothing about tithing in the New Testament. Let me ask you something. Whose heir is this? Yeah, really? Okay, who made whatever it was that made the fabric that you're sitting in? Help me. Who made the materials that made the stuff that poured the foundation of the building you're sitting in? Okay, who made the land? Who made the natural resources? Who made the vegetables that you ate, you don't like to eat, whatever? Well, bless God, I don't have to give him a tithe. Oh, really? 10% is pretty cheap rent. Think about it. And I'll tell you one other thing. Not only was Judas Iscariot, the devil, sin, and those men for whom he died, the thieves that day, you're a thief if you think you can get to heaven any other way than Jesus Christ. You know what he said in John chapter 10? Jesus said in John chapter 10, he that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. People say all religions lead to the same place. Yes, they do. They really do. All religions lead to the same place. It's not up, though. It's down. Jesus said, if you want to come in, you're going to have to come by the door. And he said, in case you're wondering about how this story goes, I'm the door. One old preacher was fussing with another preacher, two different religions, and he said, my church has the key to the kingdom of heaven. He said, what do I need with the keys? I got the door. You understand? Jesus said, you want to come to heaven? Come by me. He said, am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want to try to climb in another way? He says, you're a thief. You're a robber. We deal with a lot of people in personal work, have been for years, still doing it, love every minute of it. And it's a funny thing how people are trying to sneak into heaven. You know, why would they do that when Jesus Christ has already died for them and shed his blood that they might be saved? It's because they want something like a thief wants it. They want it a crooked way. Listen, when you go to a store, right? You go to a store, and they've got a product there, okay? Like you're going to buy a car. There's the key. You go to the store. You sit down. If you want that car, you've got to pay the price. And then they give you the key and the title and the warranty and the insurance and the truth in lending statement and the note and the payment book and the you walk out. But you're driving it legally. Now, if you are a thief and you want to drive that car, you do it a different way. You steal it. Right? Steal it. All right, well, there's a price that has to be paid to get you into heaven. You say, well, what's that? Well, thank God you don't have to pay it. Jesus Christ paid that price when he died on the cross that day after this little betrayal right here. He didn't want to, but he did it. The price that had to be paid is that he had to die and shed his blood for your sins and endure the wrath of God for 3 nights and 3 days in hell so that you could be saved on the price he paid. But that price has got to be claimed. You're not going to get in any other way. A thief says, I'm going to try another way. I'm going to go in by my religion. Help yourself, but you're going to find out you're going to get caught by the law and thrown into hell. You don't want that. Isn't that right? Don't be a thief. Don't be a thief. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Go His way. You know why? It works every time. And then you get to enjoy your Christianity legally and in liberty. No, sir, my friends, Jesus Christ was not the thief that day. He never will be. He's God manifest in the flesh. And before Him, we are all guilty. Now, Christians, don't you be guilty against God and take from Him the things that are rightfully His. It's His glory, not yours. Amen? It's His book. He's letting you read it. Don't you be messing with it. It's His tithe. You take care of what He gives you to do. That's His. Nobody else's. And if you're not saved, don't be a thief. Take Jesus Christ. It's a gift. Not something you need to steal by a religion. Father, we're thankful today for the opportunity to preach the words of God. We love our Lord Jesus Christ, and we love to hear about Him from the Scripture. We would be happier to know Him. Now, Father, there may be other things going on in the lives of our believers where Your Holy Spirit has identified some areas in their lives where they've been taking something from You, taking some precious time from You that needs to be spent with You, and other things that we've already mentioned. I pray, Heavenly Father, Your Holy Spirit will deal gently and kindly, but firmly with us in these matters. I pray, Heavenly Father, if we've got somebody here today without Jesus Christ, they'll understand He's not the thief. He came to give, and by receiving Him, they can be saved. And I ask you to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio recording at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our church or our radio broadcast ministry, we have two websites that are available to help you. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our radio listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you here. In the meantime, enjoy our audio sermons and radio broadcast online at either of our websites.